Dart Frog.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time for another dose of the medicine known as Not Your Mother's Goose. I'm Topher Goggin. Coming up today, that medicine's going to come with a spoonful of sugar as we check out Mary Poppins, but do it in the form of a George Banks review of Mary's nannying skills. We'll also find out which legendary character won the Masters over the weekend, try out another movie before and after with Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Sword and the Stone, and then we'll tackle a classic Herman's Hermits tune on Rapunzel's jukebox. Before we get started, though, I would like to encourage you to pay a visit to notyourmothersgoose.com. First of all, there's just lots of fun items there. But right now, if you sign up for the newsletter, we'll get you entered in a special drawing for all kinds of great Not Your Mother's Goose stuff. The winner's going to get a copy of the original Not Your Mother's Goose book and the Not Your Mother's Goose adult coloring book. Both of those are loaded up with Rick Cunningham's amazing cartoons. You definitely want to see those. We're going to give you a Not Your Mother's Goose shirt of your choice and maybe a few other things that I might throw in if I feel like it. Now, if you just can't wait, or you're just one of those people that figures you're very unlucky and won't win, there are links there where you can certainly buy this stuff yourself and support the show. I will not tell you no. But if you want to get entered, make sure you do so before May 1st of 2021. That's when we're going to do the drawing. You can sign up for the newsletter whenever you want, but if you want to be the big winner, get in before May 1st. All right, now that we have our clerical matters handled, let's all grab our umbrellas. We're going to fly off to England and get this show started. Mary Poppins. So listen, I absolutely love Mary Poppins. It is one of my all-time favorite movies, possibly because I got to see it many, many, many times when I was younger, thanks to my little sister deciding it was the only thing she would watch when she was at home sick from school. Now, I do think that they missed an opportunity by not giving Mr. Banks the first name of Rob, but otherwise, Mary Poppins is just terrific. However, it turns out that not everyone thinks she's practically perfect in every way. You should check out some of her reviews on uncannynanny.com, like this one. Mary Poppins, 1.5 stars, do not hire, dangerous and unreliable. Reviewed by Banks the Banker 87. Here's what it says. I was hiring a nanny for my two adorable children, Jane and what's-his-face, the younger one, when I encountered Mary Poppins. Odd from the start. She didn't actually interview for the job, she just took it. Said she'd interview later if she felt like it. Basically, she's George Costanza with a flying umbrella. Now, if you hire Poppins, I'd recommend updating your insurance. Homeowners, health, probably life insurance on your children, although a term policy will do because she won't last on the job very long. Within moments of arriving at my house, she unloaded about 3 U-Hauls worth of crap from her garment bag, then demanded that our children clean up the nursery while she stood around and sang a song. It was chaos. My daughter could have been concussed by airborne dollhouse furniture, my son got locked in a closet for a while, and I currently have 4 pending OSHA complaints. Also, beware that this is normal for her. She is constantly singing. I'm surprised she didn't make the kids change the oil in my car while belting out Don't Be a Dipstick. Let's see, what else? She and her friend Bert thought it would be wise to take the children on an outing in a chalk drawing, then promptly abandoned them while they went off for dinner and dancing with the beflippered waitstaff at a restaurant. The children survived this, only to be told to mount ceramic horses and ride them around the countryside, in a fox hunt, over a river, in the middle of the Kentucky Derby, and straight through a car wash. At least that seems to be the only explanation I can think of for how they could be as wet as they were when they got home. She also taught them about super cauliflower, or something like that. Frankly, there were even more oddities. One day she appeared to have a talk with a dog, then rushed my kids off to see a flying jokester named Uncle Albert, who hangs out with someone with a wooden leg named Smith. And no, I have not found out the name of his other leg yet. When I took the kids to work, she got them so riled up they started a bank run because we didn't offer free checking. The next thing you know, I've been sacked and she's got the children covered in dirt and stepping in time across the rooftops of London. This lady worked for me for 4 days and the kids nearly died 12 times. The only benefit is that she checked a weather forecast or something and then just up and quit. In summary, dangerous, too much singing, and has a talking umbrella. Gets 1.5 stars instead of 1 only because Uncle Albert's terrible jokes got my job back by killing my boss. Otherwise, she can go fly a kite. And there you have it. Well, thank you, Mr. Banks, the Banker 87. All I can say is that I assume that Mary is smart enough to take all of that with a spoonful of, with a grain of salt, shall we say. Also, I do want to point out that Uncle Albert may be the most underrated cinematic cheeseball humorist of all time, aside only maybe from the Mad Hatter. Slept so poorly that I chewed my pillow to bits. And how did I feel the next day? Not bad. A little down in the mouth. That's gold right there, folks. It's time for our latest look at the news. There's a lot going on in the world, and I'm not just talking about little Jack Horner being named as the latest guest host of Jeopardy. Though I guess he does already have the whole sitting in the corner thing figured out. Let's take a look at the other headlines, and then we'll head over to the sports desk for the latest. Sheriff Woody facing re-election challenge from Barney Fife and Buford T. Justice. Dumbo accidentally steps on Mr. Peanut. And in breaking news from overseas, Frère Jacques claims gold. After the IOC added breakdancing to the event list for the Tokyo Olympics, everyone wondered what sport would be next. But when competitive sleeping got the nod, no one suspected that a little-known French priest would bring gold back to Paris. Frère Jacques stunned the analysts with his championship performance, sleeping for some 14 hours straight, including snoozing through the jet engine round and the notoriously difficult Billy Ray Cyrus challenge. Advancing to the finals against American sleeping superstar Rip Van Winkle, both competitors sawed logs through 14 different screaming infants and one yapping dog. The tables turned, however, in the mom steps on a Lego battle, with Van Winkle bolting awake in terror and ceding the title to the Frenchman. Interviewed afterwards, Jacques credited an intensive training regimen with morning bells for getting him ready for top-level competition. He also acknowledged that he never stood a chance until Sleeping Beauty was disqualified after failing a melatonin test in the qualifying rounds. We'll take a quick break, then be back with the latest from the world of golf.
Do your joints creak like a rusty gate? Does your car sound even worse? Well, now you can fix them both. Come and see us today at Mr. Smee's Muffler Palace and Massage Parlor, home of the $24.99 Lube Up and Rub Down. Here at Mr. Smee's, we'll get all your parts moving smoothly, from your drive shaft to your titanium knee. With our yo-ho-ho and a bottle of 10W30 Special, you'll both be as jolly as Roger by the time your service is complete. We pride ourselves on having the best staff in Neverland, especially now that we've taken Captain Hook off massages and moved him to acupuncture. And check out our popular Peter Pan package, which is guaranteed to keep your vehicle and your back as young as the day they came off the lot. Why sit in your car during an oil change when you can get a full body massage at the same time? Come on down to Mr. Smee's Muffler Palace and Massage Parlor. Anyone who says they're better is a total crock.
That clock noise is probably a good reminder that we won't be seeing Captain Hook going on TikTok anytime soon. Not a fan. You'll of course recognize the familiar voice of Brian Weifrich once again helping us out. When we do our All the Ads special coming up, we might as well just call it the Hour of Weef. Thanks as always to Brian. Now back to our headlines. Lightyear sued over new BuzzFeed meal delivery service. After Wild Ride, Mr. Toad saves 15% on car insurance by switching to Geico. And back to sports, where we find this story. Paul Bunyan wins Masters. Augusta National is searching its closets for a really big green jacket after woodsman Paul Bunyan shocked the world by claiming the Masters title over the weekend. A late addition to the field replacing the injured Tiger Woods, Bunyan tromped to a two-stroke victory over Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson. Bunyan was plagued by a number of wayward tee shots along the way, but his revolutionary new strategy of simply ripping down any trees in his path with his bare hands left him playing a different golf course. CBS Sports' Jim Nantz discussed Bunyan's controversial strategy afterwards, saying, "You know, I don't think that's quite within the rules, but when the player is 11 feet tall and holding a 9-iron, nobody was in a real hurry to point it out." Nance noted that Bunyan would be receiving a bill from Amen Corner Landscaping for replacement of 37 pines and a magnolia, and that Augusta hoped he would also cover the medical bills of a handful of patrons that Babe the Blue Ox trampled while serving as Bunyan's caddy. Bunyan is not the first provocative character to grace Augusta's grounds in recent years. In 2018, the membership was taken aback by the debut of the Emperor's new golf clothes, voting immediately to award him a full-length green trench coat despite a 67th place finish.
Hey, it's the Little Red Hen, and I just finished baking my bread, and now I will be eating it while I listen to Not Your Mother's Goose, alone.
We got a good reaction to the movie before and after segment, by which I mean a listener named Steve said he liked it, and if Steve can't be trusted, who can? So let's try another. We move from The Empire Strikes Back to the Future into the Wizarding World, where soon on the silver screen you'll be watching Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Sword in the Stone. Here's what to expect. As Albus Dumbledore heads for a 2-week vacation in Las Vegas, everyone wonders who he will leave in charge of Hogwarts. Suddenly, a giant anvil appears in front of his office, encasing the legendary sword of Godric Gryffindor. An inscription states that the first person to remove the sword will become temporary Hogwarts headmaster, plus receive a 25% cut of Dumbledore's blackjack winnings upon his return. Excitement surges through the castle as students and staff alike get in line to take their shot at glory and power. Of course, Hermione Granger just walks by and nonchalantly removes the sword, but she quickly puts it back, pointing out that she has far too much homework to be headmaster right now. The other participants are far less successful. First, Severus Snape's attempt to loosen the sword with a potion called WD-40 fails after Dean Thomas hides the little red straw. Gilderoy Lockhart then points out that he has removed many sharper swords from larger stones in the past, but then remembers a pressing appointment to get the oil changed on his broom and indicates he'll work on it later. Even Harry comes up short when Expelliarmus fails to dislodge the sword. Things then turn from bad to worse, and it's not just because Percy Weasley indicates that he'd gladly fill in until a leader is found. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley are forced to rush to Hogwarts after Fred and George throw out their backs and end up in the hospital wing. "You got hurt pulling this thing?" a confused Mr. Weasley says as he grabs Gryffindor's sword and slides it out. The crowd's collective jaws drop, and Ron realizes that his dad, Arthur Weasley, is now King Arthur of Hogwarts, at least for a couple of weeks. King Arthur's reign as headmaster is uneventful, but does include the installation of a fascinating new Muggle device called a toaster in the kitchen. Of course, all good things must come to an end. Dumbledore returns early after being banned from the Bellagio following a remarkable roulette winning streak, and rumors begin to circulate that Mad Madam Mim may have joined forces with Voldemort. For that, you'll have to tune in for the sequel, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix Suns, as Sirius Black and Mad-Eye Moody go undercover as NBA stars to infiltrate the dark magic being used by the Washington Wizards. The Mr. Man. So, if you had some sort of strange quirk growing up, there's a good chance there was either a Mr. Something or a Little Miss Something book for you. By which I mean about you. These were a series of stories by Roger Hargreaves about some very oddly shaped people with descriptive names. Names like Mr. Happy, Mr. Helpful, Mr. Tickle, Mr. Uppity, seriously, and of course Little Miss Chatterbox. Now, each of these characters embodied their name, except perhaps for Mr. Clever, who everybody knew was a total moron when the cameras weren't running. Most of these folks ended up getting their comeuppance because of whatever their strange trait was, which was probably a tip that you shouldn't aspire to be your town's version of Mr. Grumpy. As a closer example, let's take a look at Mr. Noisy. Mr. Noisy seemed to be some sort of giant orange cousin of the Kool-Aid Man, who went around stomping his feet, slamming doors, and constantly yelling at people. I specifically remember being a big fan of reading the page where Mr. Noisy would visit the butcher shop and announce, in all caps, I would like a piece of meat. Now, as you can imagine, that got rather old for the butcher, named Mr. Bacon, fairly quickly. So he ends up giving Mr. Noisy the silent treatment until he finally gets a hint and decides it's time to shut the front door. Quietly. My parents bought me a few of these books, and now that I look back at it, I do sense a bit of a theme. Specifically, I think I was chosen for the Mr. Annoying subseries of the books. I had Mr. Noisy, but I also had Mr. Fussy, a giant scribble named Mr. Messy, and a book called Mr. Nosy. So I'm now thinking about this, starting to wonder if my parents were trying to tell me something. Mr. Cheerful, Mr. Funny, Mr. Brave, Mr. You Look Like Brad Pitt, none of those were on my bookshelf. I did, however, have a copy of Mr. Bump. He was a bandage-covered walking ad for Life Alert that will definitely be played by Humpty Dumpty if they ever make it into a movie. On the same thinking, I suppose Pinocchio is a bit of a shoe-in for that role of Mr. Nosy, though he might want to hire a stunt double since I specifically remember that Mr. Nosy gets his snout pinned with a clothespin, painted, and then blasted with a hammer when he keeps sticking it in places it doesn't belong. I took a look, and they are actually still writing these books today, though the 2021 releases include the somewhat boring-sounding Mr. Calm and Little Miss Kind. Personally, I'd prefer something more relatable, like Mr. Gassy and Little Miss Sweatpants. On the other hand, the real books do include Little Miss Scatterbrain and Mr. Grumble, who I think we've all met in real life, not to mention Mr. Nonsense, who I'm pretty sure is a member of Congress. There's also Mr. Wrong. He would seem to have a few possible plots. Not to mention Little Miss Whoops, who you'll be surprised to learn is actually not related to anything you were supposed to learn in health class. In reality, about the only name they haven't covered yet is Mr. Mister, and of course we know he's off somewhere singing about broken wings. I do wonder what shape he would be. We'll wrap up another episode with our regular visit to Rapunzel's Jukebox. If you didn't get a chance to listen to our previous All the Music episode, I do hope you'll check it out. Lots of tunes, plus a chance for you to actually meet Andrew Mitchell and learn about his group, The Othership. Andrew has tackled another song for us this week, and of course there's a story behind it. I was literally driving to the dentist when the old catchy Herman's Hermits song, I'm Henry VIII I Am, came on the radio. And with my apologies to Peter Noon, I basically thought, this is the silliest song ever, but I bet I could make it even worse. Well, after a good polish and no cavities, I went home and tackled that goal, and I'm pretty sure I succeeded. Then, of course, came the challenge where I had to convince Andrew that he should actually sing this foolishness. I figured I would bury it with a couple other ideas I was working on when I sent it his way, but he wrote back, "Oh, I used to be a camp counselor and we sang that song all the time. I love it." Well, in that case, go nuts. He got down to business. Here's the result. Formerly, I'm Henry VIII I Am, coming to you from Andrew Mitchell on Rapunzel's Jukebox.
I'm merry with a little lamb, merry with a little lamb I am. I went walking to the school and store, every time the lamb was at the door, and all the thing does is follow me, follow me. I think it's gonna get me in a jam, no jam, 'cause a stupid lamb just follows me. Merry with a little lamb. Second verse, not like the first. I'm Little Red Riding Hood, Little Red Riding Hood, all good. I went walking to my granny's next door, big bad wolf, he got there just before his dinner. It was my gran and me, gran and me. He wouldn't eat a burger or a ham, no ham. We're a four-course meal, my gran and me. Little Red, I taste like spam. I'm merry with a little lamb, merry with a little lamb I am. I went walking to the school and the store, every time the lamb was at the door, and all the thing does is follow me, follow me. I think it's gonna get me in a jam, no jam, 'cause a stupid lamb just follows me. Merry with a little lamb. M-A-R-Y. Merry with, merry with the little lamb I am. Merry with the little lamb.
Andrew Mitchell with another great performance here on Rapunzel's Jukebox. And that is only one R at the end. That's M-A-R-Y, sort of pirate style, I think. Not two R's. We know how to spell, in theory. Anyway, stay tuned for more from Andrew. We've got some more ideas in the hopper coming soon. For now, though, thanks for joining us on another episode of Not Your Mother's Goose. Up next, another special show where instead of all the songs, we're going to package up all the ads, plus a few new fun things. So stay on the lookout for that. It's coming soon. In the meantime, remember to head over to notyourmothersgoose.com and get signed up for the newsletter drawing for all kinds of fun stuff, the Not Your Mother's Goose book, the adult coloring book, and some other great stuff that I'm just collectively calling goose crap. That'll do it for today. Thanks again for listening. For Andrew Mitchell, Brian Weifrich, Mary Poppins, and Mr. Smee, I'm Topher Goggin, saying so long, the goose is loose. We'll see you again soon on more Not Your Mother's Goose.
Dart Frog.